Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wednesday Night Bible Study with Pastor Brooks. Excuse me for the delay in getting in. Again, had some technical difficulties and tried to use the main computer. But when I went to the main computer, my Skype was lost, couldn't get logged into it. So I had to come here on my laptop. Now my laptop is not giving me everything that I need. It's not showing me the studio and the dashboard that I use for here on a Blog Talk radio. So, having some difficulty in that regards. In other words, I don't have the ability right now to bring others in. I don't have the ability to see if anybody wants to get in. So right now I'm just basically going at it myself. Before we go, let's have prayer. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for this opportunity that you've given us to gather here tonight to study your word, to share in your word. And dear Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless your people. We ask that you would bless those who are sick, those who are shut in. We pray that you would touch their bodies. We pray that you would give strength. We pray that you would give healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Dear Lord, touch us right now from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet. Meet every need according to your riches and glory. Bless us. Take us higher. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. So tonight, again, we're trying to work and see if we can get this going correctly. The problem may have been me not being able to get in on time as to why I can't get everything to work. But so be it. And so be it. If that's the case, we'll do. Okay, now the switchboard is coming up. All right. So now some are, I can see some have logged in. Okay, looking at, again, haven't called in in a, haven't used this in a few weeks. And so there are some other features that they've added since we were last on. Tonight we want to look at scripture. I started on Sunday morning in a reference that we would be dealing with this for a few weeks, and that is in the book of 2 Peter, the second chapter. In 2 Peter, the second chapter, all of God's word is great, is informative, gives us instructions on how to better serve the Lord, how to better worship the Lord. And it's up to us as individuals that we would take the time to read God's word, study God's word, share God's word, so that we too can get an understanding. One of the difficult things about God's word is that sometimes in God's word there are difficulties in passages, difficulties in interpretation, and it's amazing. I mentioned this several weeks ago to some people, that we as people, anything else that we don't know, we will seek out information, we will study, and we will try to become more versed in a topic or in a study. But when it comes to God's word, we act like that we know everything, that we don't need to study, that we just open up the word of God and it is plainly going to jump out and explain everything to us where we don't need any help or any teaching. But that is not true. The scripture does say that the word of God is plain and that a fool would be able to not err. A fool will be able to study God's word and live victorious. But even in the living victorious, there are things that we need to know concerning God's word that sometimes a simple reading will not get us that information. That's why the scripture tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if the scripture tells us that we are to rightly divide the word of truth, then evidently there's a possibility that people can not rightly divide. In other words, if you can do something right, you can also do something wrong. And so when it comes to the even to the truths of God, sometimes we make the mistakes because we haven't really studied God's word. We go off of what someone said or someone made something sound appealing. And even though it sounded appealing, maybe what they said did not measure up to the totality of Scripture. So 2 Peter, the second chapter, and I'm going to read tonight. This has been okay. Now, are we still okay? All right, we're still on. So the herd of Noah's has sounded as if we had lost connection, but I see that we're still on. Today has been one of those transition days for me at work at school. You hear school is about to be out this week for the students and teachers. Tomorrow, Thursday, will be the last day for students in our district, and Friday will be the last day for teachers. And so we are getting ready to enjoy summer break. So the scripture reads, and read from the King James Version right now, and also we'll look at the Amplified as well, I believe. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned with an overthrow, and making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speaking evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And they shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they count it pleasure to riot in daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart. They have exercised with covetous practices cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them that they not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened according unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow is washed to her wallowing in the mire. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. Now, tonight we won't deal with all of the scripture, but this is going to be our basis for the next several sessions, including both Sunday at church and also Wednesday night here. Now, as scripture speaks, Peter speaks, it said, but there were false prophets also among the people. We look through the Old Testament, we see the duality of the righteous prophet. We also see the warning about the false prophet. False prophets rose up among the people because they presented something or presented a word that people were willing and wanting to hear. And so this is how the false prophet really gains his audience, is because he comes with a message that people want to hear. That's why you see into a lot of time into today's churches and services, when there's prophecy given, most prophecy you see given will be about a blessing. It'll be about a person receiving some money, receiving finance, receiving a promotion. Is usually a lot of times you notice that it is a desirable, tangible thing that people would love to have, and the prophet prophesies this, and the people used to say amen to the prophecy, but now it's I receive it. I receive that prophecy. But if the prophecy comes warning of judgment or warning of trouble, warning of that there is a lifestyle change that needs to take place in an individual life, in an individual's life, then we say, well, I don't receive that. Well, you can, the reality is prophecy comes, and whether you accept it or reject it, if it's the true word of God, is coming whether you receive it or you reject it. Your receiving or wanting it, receiving it says what? That I want it. That, okay, I'll take that prophecy. The rejection is saying I don't want that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to believe that. And so when the prophet prophesies what people want to hear, then the prophet is able to gather a large audience and gather people who will cling to those words because it is something that they want to hear that God is going to do for them. All of us want to be blessed by God. All of us want to hear the Lord tell us, well done, my good and faithful servant. All of us want to hear the Lord tell us to enter into the joy of the Lord. All of us want to hear the Lord tell us to welcome to heaven, welcome to my presence. All of us want to hear that. But the truth of the matter is that all of us will not hear that. Some will hear that, and then some will hear the terrible news, depart from me, I know you not. Your work was of iniquity. And then Jesus said, and I think Matthew, the 24th chapter, that the angels will gather those who are classified as the goats and cast them into the lake of fire. So even in the Old Testament, you see the proliferation of false prophets, even against the advice of God. Now, we look in the earlier part of the scripture when it talks about encountering false prophets, and one of the instructions were to look at the prophet. If the prophet is issuing false prophecies in the name of the Lord, then the scripture says that prophet was to be removed from the people and be stoned to death, be put to death because you have someone that's going around lying on God. You see? And so you have two types of people when it comes to lying concerning God. Some will lie on God, and then some will try to lie for God. God doesn't need anybody to lie. He needs the truth. And though the truth is a thing that hurts, upsets us, because sometimes the truth reveals things that we are not proud of and things that we don't want to be associated with. But sometimes the truth reveals this, reveals these things, and these, it, the truth hurts at first. But if we're walking with God, we take the truth that we have learned and we make appropriate change in our lives. And so, and then we begin to thank God afterwards. We see how God has been so gracious and good to us that he was, that he showed us ourselves, and we appreciate that, and we start giving God the glory, and we live for the Lord, thanking him for that revelation of our shortcomings. So it said there were also, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So he was saying, if you look at history, look at the history of Israel, you look, you see that there were false prophets, even when God said, if the prophet prophesies falsely, that prophet was to be put to death. And as, and this is when Israel was operating as a theocracy. And so as they're operating as a theocracy, theocracy being ruled by God, they were ruled by the word of God, and so they could follow the word of God. But when they went to Samuel and told Samuel, we want a king like everybody else, then they no longer were ruled as a theocracy. Now they were ruled as a monarchy. And Samuel tried to give them the pros and cons of asking for a king, but people may had made up their minds they wanted what they wanted because they saw what other, how other people were living, and they wanted the same situation in their lives. And sometimes this mistake that we make, that we see what others have or what others are doing, and we want that in our lives, and we're looking on the outside, and sometimes we don't see the inside corruption that comes along with certain lifestyles. Now it says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately, who will sneakily bring in damnable heresies. He'll stop teaching the orthodox truth and start teaching a heterodox lie and start teaching things which go against God's word. You know, we looked at the New Testament. You had the Judaizers that Paul was dealing with. You had the Gnostics who John was dealing with, and they're trying to preach the gospel, and then you had these others who would come behind them trying to pervert the true teaching of God to present another way rather than following the way. So they said, privately bringing damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So what happens is that people being raised up by Satan, and when I said raised up by Satan, I'm not talking about that they have gone through the witches' coven and all of this, and they have made a covenant with Satan, and they told Satan that they want to do his will and all of that. No, what I'm saying is that they are teaching things which do not coincide with God's word, and they get an idea and run with it and think that the idea came from God when it may have come from the enemy. Well, how do we know if it did come from God? Well, we have a reference point, and the reference point is the Word of God. And so we go to the Word of God, we search the Scriptures, and when we come up with these new things, these new concepts, we can find in the Word of God if it lines up with God's Word, or if it's something false doctrine that has already been dealt with previously in the Scripture. And the truth of the matter, that really you won't find new doctrine. You find a resurrection of old ideas, and it's presented with a new name. And so you study these things that are popping up, and you go back in Scripture and study, you see it's really not a new form of heresy, same form, just with a different label and a different package. And so in dealing with the false prophets, that many shall follow their pernicious ways, the lascivious ways, their lifestyle, which is not godly. And so this is the main reason that false teaching comes. It comes to give a license to sin. It's the main reason false teaching comes. It comes to give a license to sin. And what we have today, and this license to sin denies the righteousness of Christ, the righteousness of God, that God is not concerned about us being holy. God is just concerned about us confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Well, if we say with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we mean it in our heart, then our lifestyle begins to change so that we can live that which we say that we believe. But if we don't really believe what we say, then we have an out to continue to do what we have been doing without making a change in our lives. So false prophecy, false teaching comes to give a license to continue in sin, a license to sin. And so many shall follow their pernicious ways. And so you look at today's society, you have people bragging, preachers, teachers, preach good message, and then because they want to appeal to the world, they brag about how the alcohol they drink, brag about how they curse, brag about or make the excuse that they are human just like everybody else. And true, we're all human, but there's a standard that God has for the people of God, and the minister of God is to be like that tree planted by the water. Well, everybody's to be like that tree planted by the water. But that the man of God should be like the tree that's planted by the water, that when pestilence, disease comes and attacks the forest, and the other trees are suffering and develop blight and other problems and start dying and decaying in the forest, that that tree that's planted by the waters, it has a better chance to stand because it has a constant flow of minerals going into its root system, and it's constantly being fed, and it has a stronger resistance to blight and to other problems that would affect other trees in the area who are farther away from that source of water. So the other trees, their source of water is the rainfall. The rainfall falls and it saturates the ground, it goes into the roots, and the roots get the water. But if it's raining enough, then those trees are constantly being fed and constantly being nourished. But if a drought comes or a dry spell comes and there's no rain falling and there's no saturation of the ground where these trees are, that these trees have to go into survival mode and they stop feeding the leaves, and the leaves start to fall, and so the tree is preserving itself by not sending water out to the leaves because the water supply is very limited. But that tree that's planted by close to the water supply, close to the river, where there is a constant wetting of the ground, or and the roots can make their way to the sources of water, those trees will still be, instead of those leaves falling off like the other trees, those leaves will still be on those trees, and this tree will be able to better weather the storm. So the man of God is to be like the tree planted by the water, that he is close to the source, and that source is the Lord. And the Lord should be able to sustain us, and we not be like the world, even though the world maybe look like they're falling off the map. The people of God look like they're falling by the wayside. The man of God should not fall into that category or start looking like the world, but the man of God should be holding on because he's close to that source, and that source is God. But if that man of God is not close to the source and he drifts away from the source, then he too shall be like the rest and start falling by the wayside themselves. So many shall follow their pernicious ways, their lascivious ways, their ways of lust. And you see that in the church today. Like every week, there's another occasion, accusation against the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the women ministers about adultery, fornication, and the like. And even one part of scripture in the Corinthians, when Paul dealt with the church at Corinth, said that these things should not even be named once among you. And so what happens, we're looking for a license to sin. In other words, what can I do? What's the least I can do and still be called a child of God? What's the least I can do and still be and make it in? As people, there's, you know, that is our nature to want to walk up to the line as close as we can without crossing it. You know, that line is there. It marks how far we can go. But as people, we want to go up to the line and even see if we can cross the line. And certainly we live in a time where the people who are calling themselves God's people have definitely crossed the line. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So today we don't want to talk about righteousness. We don't want to talk about holiness. We want to talk about blessing, blessing, blessing. There is a blessing in living holy. There's a blessing in living right. There's a blessing in following after God. And it says in verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. So these feigned words, they tell you what you want to hear, and then you're so happy to hear that you give money. So in other words, they look at you as a dollar sign and rather as a soul that needs God. So whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Let's look at something. I'm going to 2 Kings. Well, I'm going to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. The 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter. And it deals with King Ahab and his dealings with false prophets. We go to, and so this is when Israel is no longer a theocracy, it's a monarchy. You have a king, and Solomon has died. Solomon, when he, upon his death, the kingdom divided. You had the northern kingdom, which took the name of Israel. Then you had the southern kingdom, which took the name of Judah. And the southern kingdom had the city of Jerusalem. And so you had Judah and Benjamin in the southern kingdom and the other tribes part of the northern kingdom. And the record states through the books of Samuel, the books of the kings, that in the northern kingdom there was not one godly king that ascended to the throne in whom God was pleased. Judah, however, they would at times have some godly kings, and godly king would come and he would bring reformation, but then sometimes after he died, the next one would come and lead the nation back into idolatry and other perversions. But in 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, dealing with false prophets, remember Peter said, but in those days there were false prophets among the people. It says, and they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said to his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, "Will thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "I am as though thou art, my people as thy people, my horses as thy horses." So even though they were two separate nations, they recognized that they were both part of the nation of Israel. Both, even though one was nation is Israel, the other is Judah, they remember their linkage. Verse 5, "And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel," and the king of Israel was Ahab, "inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." So then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" Now, what did Ahab want to do? Ahab wanted to go and fight this battle at Ramoth Gilead. That's what Ahab wanted. The people knew what Ahab wanted. The prophets knew what Ahab wanted, because Ahab had asked Jehoshaphat, was asking Judah for assistance in going to battle against Syria. So he asked, "Shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear?" In other words, it seemed like he is asking, should I fight this battle, or should I wait? And they said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now here you have 400 prophets, 400 prophets who are all in agreement that God has spoken and said, "Go and fight in this battle." 400 prophets. Now, these prophets were not what we would really consider prophets of God. These prophets were brought in. These were Phoenicians, and a lot of them were brought in by Jezebel, and they really were the queen's prophets. And so whatever the queen wanted, they prophesied and prayed for it and all of that. And so they knew the desires of Ahab's heart. They knew that he wanted this battle. And so they tell him what he wants to hear, and they tell it in a way that it comes from God. They said, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Well, maybe, and so they knew he wanted this, so they tell him to go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, Jehoshaphat was a little hesitant after he heard this prophecy. And if you really look closely at what these 400 men said, these 400 prophets, these false prophets said, Jehoshaphat's words to them was, "Inquire," or in other words, "Ask God, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today." So he was asking, well, ask God. Their response is, "Go up, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king." Now, their response was not that God said, "Go up," or "God has spoken," but their response was, "Do it, and God will bless your effort." And so Jehoshaphat, it didn't sit well with Jehoshaphat what was taking place, because he was asking, is there anybody who can, well, we need to go to the prophets, we need to go and get counsel from God. We're talking about fighting a battle, fighting against Syria, a strong opponent. They're strong to the point that they've taken the land, part of the land, and you can't get it back. So I need some assurance that this is the will of God, because even though I'm helping you, I'm risking the lives of my people, of my men. People are going to die in this. People are going into Gilead, Ramoth Gilead, and not coming back. People are going to die in this battle. And so I need assurance from God that God wants me to do this. And evidently since Jehoshaphat is not hearing that God said, go up and do this, but simply go up and God is going to bless your efforts, Jehoshaphat asked this question in verse 7. He asked, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? In other words, he said, now, something not right. You got 400 people and all of them saying the same thing. And you know, in most instances, you can't get that large of a number to agree on the same thing. But here you have 400 prophets who say, go up. Because remember, they are really, these prophets are being paid by the court. They're paid by the king. They're paid by the queen. These are the kings and queens' prophets. They're being paid by the king and the queen. So the prophecy that they are going to give is what the king and queen want to hear, because you're dealing with wicked people, so you prophesy what the wicked person wants to hear. The wicked person gives money to the prophecy that they want to hear. In other words, they say, I receive it, and they in turn bless these prophets. So these prophets were going to say what the king and queen wanted to be said. Jehoshaphat asked the question, is there not another prophet of the Lord besides, that we might inquire of him? So Jehoshaphat had this inkling that these were prophets, but they may not necessarily be prophets of the Lord. They may have been able to look at their dress. They're paid by the king. They dress well. They eat well. They look well. They look richer than the average prophet of God. In verse 8, then the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man. In other words, there are 401 prophets. There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord. He says, but Ahab says, I hate him. Now, why would he hate the man of God? Why do people really hate the man of God? Why would he say, but I hate him? There is a preacher in the land, but I hate him. There is a prophet in the land, but I hate him. There is somebody who will tell us the truth, but I hate him. There is somebody I know is living right, but I hate him. There is somebody who's standing on God's word, but I hate him. There is somebody who is going to preach God's word, but I hate him. There's somebody who's going to tell me the truth, but I hate him. There's somebody who's not going to tickle my funny bone, but I hate him. I hate him. I hate him. Well, why do you hate him, Ahab? Verse 8, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. So Jehoshaphat did not like this prophet because this prophet was not prophesying good things to Jehoshaphat or things that Jehoshaphat wanted to hear. He was telling him the truth, and Jehoshaphat did not like the truth. He did not like what was coming from this prophet's mouth. So his idea was to stop hearing from this prophet, not dealing with this prophet, and I'll go where I can hear what I want to hear. I can go and hear what makes me feel good. I can go and hear what tickles my ear and gives me a good feeling. And so that's where I will go. It said, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. Jehoshaphat felt that this prophet was picking on him, but the prophet was simply telling him the truth. And the reason the prophet is prophesying evil to Ahab, because Ahab is spiritually corrupt. Ahab is evil at heart. And then his wife is worse than he is. Said, but I hate him, for he does not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. In other words, Jehoshaphat recognized, don't get mad at the prophet, get mad at yourself, for if he is a true prophet of God, he's going to share with you from God, the word of God. And if you are not where you need to be spiritually, don't get mad at the true prophet. Get mad at yourself. Get mad at your situation. Get mad at your circumstance and break free and become what God has intended for you to be. Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat the king of Judah sat each on his throne, having put on their robes, in a void place in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. So they sat down, and here come these 400 prophets with all these, as Ahab would say, with these good prophecies. And Zedekiah the son of Chenaiah made him horns of iron, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push the Syrians until you have consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. These prophets are sticking with their prophecy, even sticking to the point of prophesying the same thing that they prophesied earlier, but it's still missing that God said, do this. So again, they are saying what Ahab wants to be said, because Ahab is seeking the help and seeking the allegiance with Jehoshaphat to help him to overcome his enemy. Ahab doesn't think that he is powerful enough to take it back, so he's seeking the assistance of Jehoshaphat. And since he needs Jehoshaphat, he needs these prophets to encourage Jehoshaphat that God is with them and everything is going to be all right. And a messenger that was gone to call Micah, verse 13, spake unto him, saying, behold, now the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now here he says, speak that which is good. He doesn't mean speak that which is right, but speak that which the king wants to hear. In other words, speak a good prophecy that the king will like. So the messenger is telling the prophet what to prophesy. And Micah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. In other words, he's telling, don't come looking for what you want to hear. You've called me, you summoned me, and what God says, that is what I'm going to say. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Michael, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? So he asked the question, shall we go or shall we forbear? Shall we go or shall we forbear? Now, this is the same question that he asked these 400 prophets. Remember, the messenger told Micah to speak that which is good, speak what's going to please the king. So Micah answers in verse 15, go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, it would appear on the surface that Micah is confirming what the 400 prophets had prophesied earlier. It seems as though Micah is giving credence to what these 400 prophets had said earlier, to go and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Now, Micah gives the exact words that these 400 prophets had given earlier. Micah was not around when these 400 prophets said what they said, and now him coming on the scene and speaking the exact words that the 400 prophets said, it makes Ahab angry, because Ahab can see that it is a rebuke from Micah rather than a blessing. He is anointed to the point that God lets him say exactly what the other prophets have said, and he was nowhere around. Jehoshaphat recognized this as a rebuke, and he becomes angry because he knows that when Micah is telling the truth, that what Micah speaks goes against the desires of Jehoshaphat's heart, and it makes Jehoshaphat mad. And he knows that Ahab recognizes that his morality is different from Micah's morality, and that there's always a conflict between what Ahab wants to do and what Micah prophesies. And so this is the real reason that Ahab doesn't like this prophet, because there's always this conflict of morals, a conflict of lifestyle, a conflict. And so now when the prophet, who 100% of the time goes against Ahab, now that Ahab has company, this prophet is going along with what Ahab wants, Ahab is upset because he recognized that the reality is that he's being mocked rather than being told the truth. Verse 16, the king said unto him, Ahab, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And remember, these other prophets didn't say that God said this. They just said, go and God will bless you. Micah shows up. He doesn't say God said it. He tells them what the other prophets said, go and God will bless you. But he recognized, I have company. I have Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is a godly man, and Jehoshaphat wants to hear what God has to say about the situation. And so Ahab, in his rebuke, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? Now he asked for the truth, and now he gets it. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills as the sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did not I tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? Didn't I tell you he wasn't going to cooperate in his prophecy? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he go, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? Who shall persuade Ahab that he go up and meet his death at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said of this manner, and another said of this manner, and there came forth a split and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him wherewith? And he said, I shall go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all of his prophets, the king's prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also, go forth and do so. So this lying spirit of these prophets brought about Ahab's defeat at Ramoth-Gilead, brought of forth his death, because he would rather hear what the lying prophet had to say rather than hear what the true prophet had to say. And this is where we are in the church age, that we would rather hear a good lie than the hard truth. We'd rather hear that what will make us feel good than that which can change the course of our life. And if Ahab had listened and obeyed what Micah was saying, it would have changed the course of his life. But because he didn't, he met his death. Let me read on. But Zedekiah the son of Chenaiah went near and smote Micah on the cheek, went and slapped the priest, the prophet, and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micah said, behold, thou shalt see in that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, take Micah and carry him back to Amon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son, and say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. So he's so angry he wants the man of God put in jail and only be fed bread and water because the man of God would not tell him what he wanted to hear. And that is the spirit that we have. You will not tell me what I want to hear. I will not support the ministry. I will not give an offering. I want to see you suffer. I want to see you be afflicted. That's the world's attitude, like Ahab. But understand, that may be what you want, but God has a way of blessing his people. He said, feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I come in peace. Now, the true word been prophesied, you're getting ready to fall. You're getting ready to die. And you're going to send word to the governor, keep him in prison until you come in peace. You're not listening to the word of God. You're not coming in peace. You're going to go out against the word of God, and you're going to meet your end because you would not yield to the true word of God. You'd rather yield to the word of God that you wanted to hear, or rather the word of God that came from your prophets. And remember, as I said earlier, these were the kings and queens' prophets. They were taking care of them. They were feeding them. They were paying them. They were putting them up. They were causing Israel to be led astray. And Micah said, if thou return at all in peace, the Lord have not spoken by me. Now, in other words, he challenges Ahab again. You said that you're going to put me in jail till you come in peace. Micah said, if you come back from this battle, God has not spoken to me. In other words, it's saying, I know what God has said. You're not coming back. And so everybody will know that if you don't come back, that I was right and you were wrong. And so they're going to have to let me go, because I'm being afflicted unjustly. And he said, hearken, O people, every one of you. I want everybody to know, if Ahab comes back alive out of this battle, then you know that I'm a false prophet and God has not spoken to me. And so they go and fight the battle. Ahab goes, he fights, Jehoshaphat goes with him. Verse 34 says, a certain Verse 34, a certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the hardness. Wherefore he said unto the driver of his chariot, turn thy hand and carry me out of the host, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was stayed up in his chariot against the Syrians and died at even. And the blood ran out of the wounded into the midst of the chariot. And there went a proclamation throughout the host about the going down of the sun, saying, every man to his city and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. And one washed the chariot in the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. They washed his armor according to the word of the Lord which he spake. Now, did he make it back? No, he didn't. What Micah said was the truth. One prophet spoke the truth. 400 prophets spoke a lie. 400 prophets spoke what this man wanted to hear, because his mind and his heart were set on doing what he wanted to do. You may have your heart and your desire set to do what you want to do. But when the word of God comes and shows you that what you want to do is not the right thing to do, my brother, my sister, you need to tell God, thank you for the revelation. Thank you for opening my eyes and let me see the truth. Don't be so stubborn that you reject the truth to hear what you want to hear, but always trust God, believe God's word, and God will bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. Next week, we continue in 2 Peter, the second chapter. I want you to be strong. I want you to be vigilant. I want you to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, that you increase and that you stay strong while others are falling by the wayside. Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for the teaching. We thank you for the hearers of the word. Dear Lord, we pray that we not only be hearers, but we be doers of your word. Dear Lord, we pray that we prosper. We pray that we be blessed. We pray that you would touch all of your people, that you would lift us higher, that you would touch our bodies, that you would strengthen our minds, that you would give us favor, that you would give us increase. Bless your people now. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God and amen. Thank you. God bless you. Join us next week, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock p.m., for Bible study with Brooks. Thank you and good night.